Welcome to C-Suite Radio.
It's time for another edition of the Brett Allen Show.
It's go time, you and me.
Join us weekly for the latest pop culture interviews from your favorite TV shows, movies, comedians, and so much more.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, it felt good.
Plus, you never know who will drop by.
What happened here was a miracle.
Now, here is your host.
I said throw down, boy.
Welcome to the nice main event.
Brett Allen.
Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks for watching and listening. We have our very first interview and conversation of 2024. I'm very excited. I've been looking forward to this for a while. We've been trying to get things going, but we had the holidays and then a strike, which kind of put a damper on everything for everybody. But we have actor and storyteller RJ Mitty. Thank you for hanging out today, my friend. It's truly a pleasure to meet you.
No, it's pleasure is mine. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Well, let's just kick things off. It's 2024. Did you have a good new year? Did you have a good holiday? Does it feel good to be in a new year and just getting a fresh start on everything? I think that's the case for most people that I've talked to.
100%. No, I had a great holiday. Went up to North Carolina for a little bit. Spent Christmas with my family, and then had a mini Christmas into New Year's with my family, and it was great. You know, I think holidays are, especially the Christmas and Hanukkah, the end of the year holidays, I think are so important for everyone to be like, all right, where did I go wrong in the previous year to what could I do better in the new year? And then having that family camaraderie together. It's
yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's important to have those moments and just reflect and kind of look at stuff and go, okay, you know, let's get the new year off to a fresh start. Well, I've been a fan of yours, of a lot of your projects. And when I was able to kind of get this on the books and things, I was going through your filmography for film and television. You've done a lot of things. Obviously, the big one is Breaking Bad, but you did other things prior to that, and you've done other things after. But please correct me if I'm wrong. I was looking at things. You got started quite early on as an actor. Yeah, with the Hannah Montana and of course, a few other things here and there. That was a pretty early start for you as an actor.
Yeah, I was around end of 13 or end of 12, turning 13 when I started my journey into that entertainment industry. My sister got cast out of a water park when she was like 1.5 years old. An agent saw her and was like, hey, we're trying to do this Lose Hope Wall campaign, and we would love to bring you and your whole family to Universal, to California for the next 6 months. Would you be interested? And at the time, my mom was recovering from a car accident that did some severe damage to her. And we were really focused on that for a while. And we're like, yeah, a free vacation. And it turned into a career, a very paid career of time and resources and love. And I started as an actor, and I recommend listening that wants to get into the entertainment industry. You know, I highly recommend Extra Work. I think it's one of the most kind of where I learned my craft and my love for the industry. And I, you know, if you move to Los Angeles, and you know, times are a little different now because we have technology, but when I moved, you know, iPhones weren't really, like, the technology wasn't there, and so you had to go to LA or New York or London if you wanted to be in the industry. That's not the case anymore because we have projects filming all over the world. But I started as an extra. I started working on shows like Hannah Montana, Everybody Hates Chris, Weed, Seventh Heaven, Droba Taylor. I was actually on me and my girl were watching Epic Movie, and I was like, hey, I was in this
show. Oh yeah.
And it's right, and it's one of those things that you don't have a lot of responsibility as an actor. You know, as a spoken actor where you speak. And you have these lines, and you have these times, and you're like, it's a lot of focus. As an extra, you know, you just got to make sure you show up on time, and you're respectful of the crew. And, you know, there's a good chance you might get bumped up to a speaking role. And so, you know, and I saw the effects of that happening on Hannah Montana for me, where my background character was getting closer and closer to the main characters without my doing. This was an AD that was putting me in places. And so I saw that impact. And so I recommend anyone that wants to get in this business, extra work is an amazing way to go. You start earning income immediately, and that, like, you're able to get on sets that most people don't even have the chance to.
Yeah. Well, I lived in Albuquerque for a long time, and I did background work on In Plain Sight and a few movies here and there. Breaking Bad was never one I was able to get on because I think everybody wanted to be on that show. It was, I think, one of the more challenging ones because obviously there were certain looks and everything. But yeah, I mean, you get free food, you get paid. I mean, you get to eat, you know, I remember the big thing of Cheetos and cheese balls. I mean, it's just, yep. you meet all a lot of great things. People. Yeah, all the things.
You do.
Yeah, that's great. And then, as you mentioned, you get the potential of getting noticed and getting bumped, and then you get speaking roles. That's a huge pay bump from just an extra or even a stand-in is a big deal. So that answers my next question then. So really, that's where the interest came for you, is just that initial entry, and the rest is history, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it literally started like, I'm doing these extra works. I'm working on 4 different shows as an extra within the first 6 months of my career. And I'm like, okay, I can do this. People seem to like me, and that I'm working more. And I was auditioning at the same time. So, like, you know, while you're doing extra work, it's very important to audition as well. It's like, it's not once. So I was auditioning for shows and movies. And one of my very first auditions, though, was for an anti-meth campaign, which was pretty funny to look back and be like, hey, so this is how it started and this is how. But it just kind of really was like, okay. My mom wasn't really able to work at the time because of her injuries. My sister's 1.5, and I'm like, okay, I can make money doing this. I can keep grinding at it, and it could be a growth career for me. You know, at the time, 13, and, you know, work for a 12-year-old isn't really there unless it's construction, which I've done small. I don't know, a 12-year-old. It just kept evolving for me. And, you know, I auditioned for Breaking Bad 5 times over the course of 6 months. Okay. Four in Los Angeles and once in New Mexico. And it got down between me and one other person. I auditioned one day. I flew to New Mexico the next day. I auditioned for Vince and did my test screening with Brian and Anna. And I went to my room. They called me about 30 minutes, an hour later, or Vince gives me a call and says, hey, RJ, you have the role. Head back to California and pack your bags. We're already filming. And it's very wow. They already had their cast dinner. They already were on set filming. And here I came like a rocket ball.
Wow, that's crazy. Like, that just all happened so fast. So that was it for five, six years. That was a good part of your career. So I'm interested to know, like, when you leave a project like that and you start to look at other things, obviously you have the experience now, both on screen as a, you know, as a main cast member, and then the background work. So when you're looking at projects after that, like, what are a couple things that are important to you as a storyteller that go, okay, this is something that I would really like to see, having had that experience and working with just powerhouses with all the people you interacted with throughout the 5 seasons of that show?
Well, one, after leaving a show like Breaking Bad, the one thing that you're with is quality. And so after leaving Breaking Bad, a big focal, what do I do now? What, where, how do I make a bigger show? How do I make a bigger movie? You know, because it's at the end of the day, that's what you have to do. It's like, okay, you did this. Now, can you do better? Can you grow past that? And with Breaking Bad, it was pretty hard to do, because of the quality of the show. You know, we had a cast and crew of 500 people, and the person on the show loved the show, gave their heart for the show. You're not going to find that on every project. So I had to lower my expectations of, oh yeah, I'm just going to get another Breaking Bad, because another Breaking Bad doesn't really exist.
No.
And so for me, where I focused on trying to find work after the show was, is it impactful? Is it meaningful? Does it have a message? And for me, Tropic and community activism and things of those nature that carry impact. And so I looked for shows and movies that had people that were like, this is my life's work. This is my life's journey. This is my story. This is the message I want to share. It's related to me as well. I was like, okay, let's make that happen. And so it became more or less of a not necessarily quality, but less money and more heart. And so since then, I've worked on quite a few projects that all have, in my opinion, deep messages that are impactful, that people could watch and walk away from. And that was something that I saw with Breaking Bad, that I was like, I want to carry that to my other projects, is that it had an impact on people's mentalities. It had an impact on decision making and kind of where they viewed people and how they viewed people. And I saw the importance of creating positive impact on the viewer when they leave that movie. What do they take with them? Not just the story of the movie, but the impact that it can create along the way. And so that was my big focal point on, I may not be able to get another big Breaking Bad movie or show, but what I can do is create these projects that are meaningful and have an impact and people care about.
Wow. So wonderfully said. Yeah, I think that's true, because like the offers can come in and you can do this and you can do that. But, you know, I think probably more so from the audience side, you know, there's always going to be comparisons to this and to that. You know, when Ozark came out on Netflix, people are like, oh, it's kind of like Breaking Bad. And I'm like, yeah, kind of, maybe, like on a very light concept of an idea. But that show and other things have just, it's hard to replicate that. And I know the fans, and I'm sure because you go to these places.
The genre, No, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that genre, you know, Breaking Bad rose the bar, and then you had, and it wasn't so much the drama itself, but the cinematic television. You know, cinematic television didn't really exist until AMC created it. You know, AMC really pioneered cinematic television, from Mad Men to Breaking Bad to Walking Dead to Hell's on Wheels. You know, in that 3 years or 2 years of TV show creating, that AMC and Sony did, it was all cinematic television. And now people strive to have that level, and that's why these shows like Ozarks and there's a bunch of, you immediately know that it's like that cinematic television. That's a movie, but a TV show.
Yeah, and that was the thing that I found so fascinating about that, is that Albuquerque and New Mexico, having lived there for so long, off and on over the years, that's really a character in itself of the story. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like all the iconic locations.
So where did you live in New Mexico? Where did you live?
I lived
in Albuquerque
for years, and then Santa Fe. You know, and I a lot of those places that you filmed, like even, I think in season one or two, where you and Dean go to that motel yeah. and you park there. I mean, I've seen that place yep. on Central Avenue a million times, or the doghouse. I don't know. I mean, I could go on and on. It's just like yep. all those places are so familiar. I'm interested to know, like, as an actor, there are different elements that you get to experience, and you get to do these projects, and each one adds to your, you know, moniker as an actor. But like, is it from the show, from friends, from family, you know, whoever, like, where do you find your validation at? Like, where do you feel the most validated? Is it when family says good job, or a significant other, or you meet these fans at all these Comic-Con events? Like, do you feel validated by that, or just simply by the hard work that you get to do?
I mean, you know, validation from others is great. I think it's important to be appreciated, and I feel very appreciated in my career in many different directions. But for me, I find my validation comes from the aftermath.
Okay.
You know, I really don't feel validated until I see the impact. And that sometimes takes years. So it kind of hinders me and helps me at the same time to motivate me. And then I'm like, what am I even doing? But I find it's after the fact. Even with Breaking Bad, we really didn't feel that the show was a hit until the last season when we went to Comic-Con and we saw people that loved, like, 7,000. We walked out in Comic-Con to a room of 7,000 people, and we're like, oh my God, people actually like this show. Like, because, like, for a while, we did get a lot of negativity.
Yeah, I remember that.
Content of the show was very hard. And so it was very, like, we were that show that, like, I used to go to all the Disney parties when I was a kid, right? I was at that 16, 17-year-old age. And then, like, I stopped getting invited to, like, kid events after Breaking
sure,
Bad.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, like, I'm still a child. They're like, well, because of the content of the show, we don't think it's right. And I'm like, all right, cool. But then after the show ended and the love for the show started pouring out more, I was like, oh, okay, I get it now. It takes time. And so for me, I'm not very big on validation. I don't know why. I don't like gratitude, I guess. but at the same time, I do like it when I see it, the impact that the show, my project had, like, you know, and that sometimes takes a long time, but for me, that's where I'm like, okay, it was worth it. It was worth the blood, sweat, and tears to get to this point, because this is the impact that carried from that. And for me,
I'm interested to know, like, I really appreciate your honesty there. I'm just curious, like, having, you mentioned something earlier on about things have changed now, you know, filming takes place everywhere. Auditions are done everywhere now with Zoom and pre-tape and all of this stuff. I'm interested to know just your idea or your perspective on the fact, like, when you're auditioning for things now, well, let me back up. Like, if you started today and you went out to pursue a career in acting, do you feel like, because the industry has changed so much, that sometimes people miss out on the old school, having to drive out to an audition, stand in a line, be in the same room with 10 or 15 other people that look like you? Do you know what I mean? Like, or is it better now that you can just audition anywhere, anyhow, because you have more opportunity to maybe work on something before a casting director or a director sees yeah. your work?
No, I think there's a double-edged sword with it when it comes to then and now of accessibility. I think there's so much more accessibility in the industry of being able to get to the casting places, to get to your meetings, to create an online presence, to build those numbers and followers, which today very important in the algorithm in the market on, like, oh, they're going to bring X to here and X to here, and that's how many our viewerships. There's a formula to it. And then when I started, I felt it was a lot more innocent. in the grand scheme of the industry on as so much as you know, people go to Los Angeles with a dream. They work really hard and they get a couple of jobs and additional they that move and you're in a pool of a couple thousand people doing that. Or a couple hundred thousand people doing it. But your role is like 1,500 people total. Now you're auditioning against 500,000 globally. I this is of both periods of time that I liked for my industry and kind of just, you know, the industry was always predatorial. Every industry had the predatorial side of it. But it wasn't as blatant in the beginning. And people weren't as the number versus like, oh, you're a good actor. Oh, I believe in you and passion. And we still have that. But now I feel that there is more brackets that we fall into versus okay. then. And you know, if I started, I probably wouldn't be an actor if I started now. This would not be the industry I use social media, but I'm not a big social media guy. Right. I do know it's important. And it's just kind of the way that I work is not really in that realm of self-promotion. I'm not the best at that. And I've been working on trying to be more promoter-y vibe. But I think there's more inclusion now. There's more accessibility now, but there's also more people trying to fit that one role.
Yeah.
There's you know, one person, you know, that role can fit hundreds of different people, but it's a decision of one role. And I think there is more opportunity, but I think there's more opportunity, but less opportunity at the same time, if that makes sense. Because the opportunities
I totally
are
get
different.
It, yeah.
And people, like, yeah, like, but people have the accessibility. And I think there is a positive change, but negative change that comes with everything.
I love it. Well, this is just so fun. Couple more questions. I am interested to know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is Breaking Bad was probably one of the most binged watched television shows. Still is. Do you have shows that you binge watch that you like to watch over and over again that are favorites of yours that you either
yeah.
just watch for pure entertainment? You do. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, I just rewatched Yu Yu Hakusho. I don't know if you remember that series. So I like anime. I'm a big anime fan. Cause like I work with live action, so for me it's work. When I watch shows or movies, my family doesn't really like to watch them with me because I tear them apart.
I was gonna say that would probably be the next thing you're watching. Going okay.
Much so I find more of that 90s 80s Japanese anime it's just done, it's all artwork, so there's no messing up. But we've been watching like Hell's Kitchen and stuff like that, but there's a bunch of stuff that I watch and binge watch, but I don't watch any of my own work.
Yeah, I don't think most people do. Maybe like if you're at home cooking dinner and something pops up on television, are you quick to go, okay, let's shut this off because I don't want to watch?
Oh yeah, no. That's immediately mute or change.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's
no,
funny.
No, no.
Yeah, you're like, okay. Well, I want to ask. I just recently started rewatching the show. I'm on season 3, I think. I watch it every year along with other things. 3 questions. I don't know if you've been asked this before, and then we'll call it a wrap, but I'm interested to know, as I was watching this, I noticed that you guys eat a lot on the show. You guys are sitting down having a lot of meals. Breakfast is a big one. I noticed you guys eat hella breakfast on the show.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite breakfast meal that you got to eat when you were filming that you looked forward to, or are you on the opposite side of things and go, I'm an actor and I'm not a big fan of eating? Some people love it, some people hate it.
So there's a fine line of eating on television. There's an actual art to it. And there are you can take classes for how to eat theatrically. And so, you know, you gotta make sure you don't mess up continuity. of how you eat and what you eat. Cause that's a really big thing for me is continuity. And so how it falls on the plate to how you cut, what pieces you eat. And so like, yeah, it may look like we ate a lot on the show, but we ate finite pieces okay. that were very specific to the shot. Or like, if I wanted my line after I ate to be like, oh yeah, like whatever, like food in your mouth, you find those moments on when to eat and how to eat and how to set your silverware down where you don't mess up sound and all these things. And so for me, I don't mind eating on set.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
On Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Sorry. What were you saying? No.
No, you're good. I think we just lost a little glitch there. Next thing, you got to be on set with some cool cars. Did you guys actually get to drive any of those vehicles that you got to, maybe the gifts like the cruiser or the other car? I can't remember. Did you actually get to drive anything, or was that just the magic of filmmaking?
So most of the car stuff was on trailers because we were on major road and we shot on film. Drove the PT Cruiser, but like, again, 30 seconds it was all.
Well, Arjun, this has been just so much fun. I appreciate you indulging me a little bit at the end here. And honestly, like all the things that you've done, whether it's television, film, I've just always enjoyed watching you. So my last question would be, like, you know, having had all of the success and such great projects and things that you've done, like, has there been one project in particular or an actor that you've crossed paths with that just gave you some advice that has solidified you as a storyteller and you've been able to carry from project to project?
I don't think one in particular. You know, my work with Brian and Anna and the cast of Breaking Bad really gave me the tools and the knowledge to sharpen my craft further and to learn things that I wouldn't necessarily know without working on a show of that caliber. You know, I find there's something from everyone that we can learn from, and the key is to be willing to listen, and the power of listening to others. And so when it comes to like knowledge that I've gathered over the years, no one's really ever set me down and been like, here, let me tell you how it's done. No, I've never gotten like kind of that type of structure. But I've definitely been a very observant and listening and do my own due diligence. And I think that's something that we all need to do a little bit more of. You know, we can talk about all these amazing things, but at the end of the day, what really from is listening and hearing what others are going through. And I think that's something that for me, I've learned from everyone that I've ever encountered, even if it's a random person or someone like Brian or, you know, it's, I've learned from everybody. And that's one of the things in my industry is acting is acting. You know, we're acting like we're these other people, but at the end of the day, acting from experience and what you know in truth, that's storytelling. And carry with you every day that you're wanting to share, and learning through those emotions that you, those trials and failures and even successes, learning from those and what you learn from those, and to take out of those scenarios and put them into your work and your craft. And that's something that I've been very lucky to be able to do.
Awesome. Well, RJ, it's been a pleasure. I'm so glad we were able to do this. Congratulations. And I'm excited to see what's next for you, man. Like, the sky's the limit, my friend.
Same here. I'm working on it. I'm trying to get the sky too.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening and being a part of today's conversation.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider sharing it with a friend. It's absolutely free.
Omega proportions.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
And remember, we care.